This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
All right, hello everybody and welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and today I'm actually joined by a good friend, somebody who has his own channel as well, all about Real Madrid news. I really like following this guy. He has a lot of stuff that, rumors, transfers, everything that's going on with Real Madrid. Well, transfers not so much this year, but we'll get into that. So it's none other than Dr. Jota Football and Fun. How are you doing, man? How's everything going?
Hey everybody. Good night, everybody. I'm doing pretty well and very happy to be here with you, of course.
Thank you, man. Thank you. You know, it's awesome to have you, fellow Madridista, somebody who's also interested in Real Madrid. So I want to basically, before we get started and talk everything Madrid, you guys can find my podcast at Y Nada Más on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find the episodes on our website at ynadamas.net. And you can also contact us for any information at info@ynadamas.net. Our podcast and this podcast that I'm doing here with Dr. Jota is actually going to be available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, everywhere that podcasts are found. So make sure you tune into that and subscribe and leave us a good comment and rating when you can. That helps us with the ratings on that helps us being more visible on Apple Podcasts. So, Dr. Jota, how can they see your stuff? Where can they catch your show?
Yeah, they only have to type in YouTube, Jota Real Madrid, and they will find me for sure. Because right now we are delivering about, 10 to 15 videos every single day. Mm-hmm. So they will find me without any problem.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely, guys. He's, I do this once a week. He's doing, seven, eight. Every time I log in, there's new news from him. So it's pretty great to get a great place to get information. It is in Spanish, guys. So just letting you know. But, Real Madrid is based in Spain. So work on your Spanish. but definitely, a good place to get information. So with all that said, Jota, let's get started and talk about, about this season so far. Obviously, we're on international break right now. Our players are doing some pretty good work, obviously, on the international scene. But we wanted to talk about the beginning of the season. We're four games in. Madrid is the leader. But obviously, like I said before, I've talked about before in the podcast, there's always a spotlight on Madrid. Can't do anything right. No matter if you're winning, you have to win everything. Everything has to be, you have to win everything. Nothing else is acceptable.
Right.
So, and there's been a lot of questions for Madridistas, about the transfers and we're not playing exciting football, but at the same time, we're not the same team we were a few years ago when we had Cristiano and La BBC, banging in goals, by just one after the other. It's become a lot more of a defensive team. We're definitely restructuring with a lot of youthful players. So give me, an overview in your eyes of, what the beginning of this season has been for you.
Well, like you said, I mean, the beginning of the season was incredible. Right now we are in the top, which mm-hmm. is good. Mm-hmm. Of course, the only problem I think that people don't really like is we didn't do any transfer, right? So we don't have any new faces, any brand new people. Right. Correct. I'm very disappointed about that, of course, like every single Madridista all around the world. But if you keep in mind, let's think about it. If you keep in mind all this pandemic, the first thing you have to do, and now it's becoming more obvious, because if you see FC Barcelona, they are struggling with mm-hmm. finances. Mm-hmm. If you keep in mind that, we have to the arguably the best CEO ever, which is Florentino Perez, right? Mm-hmm. And for him, I think that Real Madrid is just basically a company. Mm-hmm. And when you're managing a company, the first thing you have to keep in mind is that company, man, has to survive. That is the most important thing, right? We don't have new players and a lot of people complaining all the time because we are very defensive team and all this stuff. But I mean, including me, I'm criticizing all the time sometimes the kind of playing that we have. But the problem is right now, this year, I think that we are the only big club in Europe that we had green numbers. Mm-hmm. We made about the income was 320,000 euros, I think. Something like that. I mean, 300,000 or something like that. But even in the worst year of this financial and health crisis, we are still in good numbers. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, we have the best CEO ever. So to me, the projection of the season is, of course, again, is the it's a question mark, right? Yeah, I can say, okay, yeah, we are going to win La Liga again. We are going to do great in the Champions, of course, because honestly, I don't think so, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have the best players in the world. So that is a problem. Yeah, that's true. But if you keep in mind, for this season, it was on the plan to sign two big players. The number one, Donny van de Beek from Ajax. And the second one, it was Kai Havertz, which is now in Chelsea.
Yeah,
he would move to Chelsea. And he was on the plan to sign them, both of them, for this year. But finally, this pandemic happened and we have to, stop everything and let's try to go through this season and let's see what happens, man. And it's like that. It's life. You cannot complain. You can complain, but it's life. You can do anything about that.
Yeah.
So that's how I see that. And yeah, and if you ask me in regards to the future of Real Madrid in the season, how are we going to do in Champions and all the stuff, man, I can say that I honestly think that we are not the favorite ones to win the Champions, honestly. Mm-hmm. We can probably, though, win again La Liga. It depends, yeah. Barca and Atletico Madrid, FC Barcelona and Atletico Madrid. Mm-hmm. And we can, but right now it's really soon, you know? It's really early. We cannot start to say, okay, we are going to win or not. Charlie, that is my projection for this season. Yeah.
No, and I completely agree with you in that, because I do feel we're in the same boat of thinking. It's still that season of restructuring, but we have a lot of exciting youth players, you know, that are coming up that we're just like, okay, we're going to see what they're going to do. And I think the plan, obviously, all the rumors and you've said it on your show, you know, on your show on Jota Real Madrid, you know, there's these long-term, obviously, goals that Florentino seems to be working up towards, you know, this idea. Yeah. And today we saw it. I feel like today was, I don't know, you always see these things and we see them as news because obviously we try to be a little bit like, you know, El Chiringuito does these things and they analyze everything, you know.
Right.
See like today with Cristiano Ronaldo sort of smiling at Mbappe and they were like having a little chat in the middle of the, and you're wondering, you know, Is that you know, him saying, you know, not to say, oh, is he going to Madrid or whatever, but, you know, it's that conversation that we know is consistently flowing between Madrid and Mbappé. Obviously, there's those rumors about Haaland. There's you know, we're trying to get these big names. But the only way we're going to be able to do that is by having money in the bank. And, you know, as much as I like to talk bad about Barcelona being a Madridista, but at the same time, you see what they're going through, and you know, when it's a big club, and even though it's a big rival, I think sometimes the good thing about rivalries is, although we dislike, you know, we don't want to see them win, having a big rival and seeing them, let's say, tank completely, you're like, oh, well, that's not cool either. But you're seeing that they're not, you know, they're in a tough situation, so. Obviously, I think it's a good time for us as Madridistas to look at our club and be like, well, you know, at least we have something going on positive that we can start looking at these things in the future and possibly looking at maybe a new quote unquote Galactico era where we're going to start bringing in these big players and we're working towards that. And that's why Florentino is doing what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So it might not be this year. It might not be this season. But next season, he might come with something that, you know, weren't expecting. We might get an Mbappe and some other people, and then we're like, all of a sudden, we're the happiest people in the world again.
Right. No, the thing is, well, let me tell you something, because some people are thinking, okay, we are going to postpone everything for the next year and all this stuff because the next year is going to be better. Let me tell you something. I think we haven't seen yet the worst of the pandemic when it comes to finances and economy and all the stuff. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I mean, let me say that I have some heads up for our audience and for you. The worst right now in football, we haven't seen it yet. Mm. Let me tell you that I'm very pessimistic about that, because while I think that Real Madrid can survive and can go through this, mm-hmm. other clubs, man, will really struggle. And not only, I'm not talking about only just FC Barcelona or Atletico Madrid. You have to keep in mind all these clubs from Premier League in England. I mean, Manchester United, Manchester City, especially Chelsea.
Yeah.
They have been buying every single player in the world, man. I think that they signed like three, four, five guys this season.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure how are they doing that, but they will find a lot of problems, because if you keep in mind that we won't have any single public in the stadiums until maybe December, maybe January, they will still keep they will keep losing money.
Yeah.
All these clubs. So I'm not very optimistic about that. On the other hand, I think, like I said, I think that Real Madrid is going to be one of the few three or four clubs that will survive. Mm-hmm. And that is good, because we actually, that's my opinion, that's what I think. Real Madrid will be able to sign every single player that he wants for the next year. But the problem is that I'm not sure if even FC Barcelona will keep existing next year.
Oh, wow.
Let me tell you that. I'm very serious, because it's not only football, man. In my country, in Spain right now, we are going through a very difficult and hard times. And it's not only football, it's everything.
Yeah, politically and everything.
Everything. So they have, FC Barcelona right now, they have a net debt around 488 million euros. Mm-hmm. Right, and they lost all the income from the tickets from the stadium, which is about 200 million euros. Yeah. It's a lot of money. I mean, these losses that they are showing in their books this year is basically for a small, tiny portion of the year. The worst is coming.
Yeah,
worst is coming up. So we'll see what happens next year.
Yeah,
we'll see, man. I'm not sure about that.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's definitely no. And what you're saying is true. I mean, it's not just Barcelona. I mean, we've seen, you know, I've talked about it on the last few shows, obviously, seeing how Valencia has, you know, which was once a big club that was competing or would always compete in La Liga, and seeing how they're just falling apart, you know, bleeding players left and right, that they all went to Villarreal, you know, you're seeing like the what is it? I think recently the coach decided he just didn't show up to training or something like that, or
I know this. Yeah, I know the story. Yeah, right. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you have all these problems going on there. And I can get, you know, I understand, you know, same thing, you know, another big name, you know, to talk about another big name in Spain, Athletic Bilbao is at the bottom of the table, you know, which is another team that has never been relegated, was one of the always the big names in La Liga until the last few years. But it was always a team that everyone was, very much people were afraid of. I mean, I think part of their problem has always been that issue of only trying to take people from the Basque region. And like you're going to have a golden generation, but then you're going to have generations where the players are not as much, and the players now have options to go elsewhere. So you can't, you kind of have to evolve with the times. Although I think sometimes it's cool too that they do that. You hear that and it's like that loyalty kind of thing, but you know,
but you don't want to take the risk, man,
exactly.
No, I mean, but that is what they do. And sometimes work, sometimes don't.
Exactly. You're going to have periods of like really roller coaster up and down now, especially, So, so, I mean, it's crazy that you say that, but I can see it happening. I mean, we're seeing it happen right now with La Liga, which people people don't like to admit it, but you see it happening right now with La Liga, in the sense that La Liga is not the league that it used to be when it came to power. You know, there was a long time when we were dominating in Europe for many years, and now you're seeing that. You know, Real Madrid is not the strongest team in the world right now. Barcelona is not the strongest team in the world right now. You know, you have teams like Bayern, you have teams like Manchester City, you have teams, you know, that are really, really put together well and are dominating as well. So it's very, like you said, it's very much an intro. That's why I thought, you know, doing this podcast that I started, you know, just this season, was because this season, and especially with COVID, is such an interesting thing that's going to be. Things that are going to be happening are going to be very interesting, both good and bad, you know. But it's also going to be, as a Madridista, it's going to be one of those, how would I say, we're going to suffer, you know, as Madridistas, you know. Sure. We're going to suffer because, you know, we're going to lose games that we feel like we shouldn't be losing. Right now, we're not scoring goals, and that's kind of one of the things that we're worried about. So I wanted to ask you, going into the whole scoring goals thing, you know, I've heard I tell people, listen to Jota's show. I think you guys will love it. It's quick, you know, quick 2 minute, 3 minute, 4 minute, sometimes quick rumors of things that have popped up or news of things that have popped up. But, you know, the firepower issue, the issue of not having goals, you know, so Benzema did a great interview recently talking about, you know, obviously talking about his time with Cristiano Ronaldo at the team and how he was the guy who used to score goals. But when you have somebody that's scoring more goals than you, he changed his style to sort of be more of the guy who was playing second striker and giving the balls to Cristiano Ronaldo, which I thought was very cool. I've always loved Benzema. I think he has a very
– Yeah.
He's a very – a very unique player in that sense that he's very,
very unique. You're right.
Giving to his team. He's really one of those guys that I feel like Real Madrid and many fans don't give him enough credit, because he definitely is one of the few players on that team that I feel like does everything for, you know, la camiseta, does everything for the shirt. You know, he's not one of the guys that's always trying to go back and say, I want this more money, I want more money, I want more money. No.
Quiet guy, and never any problem to the club. Yeah, you're right.
And then, you know, when Cristiano left and we had a terrible season, you know, like where we couldn't, he was the one guy that was seemed like just finding the goals anywhere he could and was scoring them. And, you know, he's been our savior in that sense. But he's also, let's be realistic, he's also getting older. You know, he's also the last of that BBC era. We have another player that is there, and it's kind of, we're trying to figure out what is going to happen with him, which is Luka Jovic. What is going on? He was this, you know, amazing striker when he was at Eintracht Frankfurt. He came here, supposedly came, obviously, that Zidane was the one who asked for him. But then we don't see him on the pitch a lot. So what do you think is going on there? I felt like in the second game where they played him when we played the 4-4-2, I felt that in second game you could really see that Jovic was finding his target and he was starting to look like the Jovic that all of us want to see. But then we didn't play him in the Levante game. But obviously, what are you thinking is the mindset right now behind that?
Well, I mean, it's completely impossible to know what is going on in the mind of Zidane. Match day, you try to figure out which going to be the starting 11, and you never know.
Oh, of course,
you never get it. Yeah. It's impossible, right? But let me tell you that, I mean, what I'm hoping is that this year will be different for Luka Jovic. We need this guy.
Yeah,
I mean, we need this guy because he was signed to be or to become our striker, mainly, purely, solely. You know, I mean, he's the number nine of Real Madrid right now because you have, I mean, on one hand, you have to Benzema, which is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the kind of player who can score, but also can concede and deliver and help to score goals to other players, right? Mm-hmm. Which is great. It's good. I mean, I get it. But the thing is, when it comes to create our own predator, our own striker, our own number nine, then, man, you have to give a chance to Luka Jovic. I mean, I can't understand why last season Luka Jovic never played more than two, three. Well, he only played two consecutive games. But to me, at least you have, I mean, in order to know how great player he is, you have to give him at least five, six games in a row. Mm-hmm. So he can feel confidence, he can feel okay with the rest of the players mm-hmm. and all the stuff. And then you will see if that guy really deserves some credit or not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But at least five or six games. What I don't know, what I can get it, is why Zinedine Zidane never gave him five or six games. Yeah. You know, because I get it. You want to win the league, because I know, and I knew at that moment, that the most important goal for Zidane last season was to win La Liga. I'm completely sure of that.
Yeah,
because
of course.
He said that. Okay, I get it. So he tried not to take any risks. So if he had to line up to Benzema instead to Luka Jovic, he did it.
Mm-hmm.
He did it. I mean, he didn't want to invent or reinvent the wheel. He didn't take any risk. So he said all the time, okay, let's put Benzema because it's easier for me. I'm completely sure that this guy is going to give everything he got in the game. And I'm not going to test or something like that to Luka Jovic because I'm not sure if he's going to do it great. And if he is going to do what I really want he to do, you know?
Yeah.
So that is the thing with Luka Jovic. So I'm hoping this season that Zinedine Zidane finally gives some more credit to Luka Jovic. And I'm really believe that Luka Jovic can give to us in return a good season, goals, and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting. I wonder why, because a lot of times players come to Madrid and they, you know, I don't know. I feel like fans, from what I've read online, I feel like fans are very interested, just like you and I, at seeing more of Jovic. You know, it's kind of funny that people, not a lot of times you'll have guys that if they don't do well, then people don't take a liking to them, you know, like they just feel like they don't associate. But it seems like Jovic has kind of touched a nerve with the Real Madrid faithful and Madridistas. And there are a lot of people are like, hey, man, this kid is good. We've seen what he can do, but he's not getting enough chances to where we can really see why is he not getting those chances? I mean, he's a young guy. He's a powerful guy. He's not a small guy. He's a strong dude, you know?
So it's like,
you know, why is it he not getting these chances? And those are I follow a lot. I don't know if you do this, but I follow a lot is what called Real Madrid Twitter. I don't advise it to anybody, but Real Madrid Twitter is all the Madridistas and some of these super fans. And it's strange because you get caught up in a lot of toxicity, in the sense that there's a lot of Madridistas that are always mad about something. But then you also get or don't think that anybody's good enough on the team, that everybody stinks, that Benzema is trash. And you're like, what are you talking about? How is that possible? How are you a Madridista if you think Benzema is trash? Like, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot of criticism of Zidane. So a lot of people come out and say, how can you criticize Zidane when he's won this, 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 and this? Sure. But at the end of the day, this is a new season. We want new wins. What you did last year doesn't count anymore, you know, even if it was great. That's just how Madrid is. So people, and just the fact that you are this amazing player, this guy who was an amazing player for Madrid, this guy who was an amazing coach for Madrid, I always try to say, does not make you exempt to criticism. And especially that's what's going on right now, because people are asking, you know, why do we not have somebody? Benzema, God forbid Benzema doesn't get injured terribly, and then we're going to only rely on Luka Jovic and no one else, because of the fact that we never gave them a chance to like rotate, you know? So you have those situations, but then it's, so there's those criticisms there. There's the criticism of, obviously many people were asking, I remember during the Manchester City game, why did Vinicius never come on for Hazard? You know, those were these other errors that we were wondering, like, you know, he's not infallible, you know, so he's not a guy who doesn't make mistakes. We see he does make mistakes. I feel like in the Levante game, the changes that he made, bringing on Isco and Odegaard, you know, when Levante was sort of getting their footing back in the game, was made it even worse, you know, we ended the game. Like I was ending the game freaking out that we were all of a sudden going to get scored on, you know? So, it was just some of those things. And he, tactically, you know, we're trying to figure out what he wants to do, but, and I think also it's, and here's the thing, I guess here's where my next question is going for you is we're playing the four, sometimes we're playing the 4-4-2 because he's trying to put in Jovic, but then but I feel like we lose that speed and we lose the wings that we have.
Then
I feel that when we play the 4-3-3, as much as I want to see Jovic play, when we play the 4-3-3, I feel like it's the formation that Madrid has been used to playing. It seems like they feel more cohesive. They feel more like comfortable. And then it's been said a lot lately. Vinicius, regardless of the fact that he hasn't been able to score the way everybody wants him to score, he is, for me, our most unique, dangerous player has fearless when he goes in, runs into the box, and tries to do something to get the game going. He's the only player that right now brings that sort of, that threat, that sort of feeling that he's going to create something.
Yeah, it's actually the only one who dares do the one-on-one situations because he thinks that he's going to win every single situation like that. So right now he's able to destabilize every single defense. He's trying all the time. It doesn't matter the score. He tries all the time to win this kind of situations all the time. I mean, facing the goal or giving the last pass in the last moment. But he's always creating this danger for the rival, you know, which is good because we don't have any other player like him right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is good for Real Madrid.
Yeah, and I think so that's where I feel like, okay, if we get, and this is we can talk about that in a few minutes, of course, but Hazard, you know, the Hazard situation, we're wondering what's going to happen with Hazard, obviously, because is he going to be, if he comes back and he's in full fitness, if we get the Hazard that everyone saw at Chelsea, then it's going to be like, okay, is Vinicius going to have a spot on the, I mean, is he going to be content to always be sort of the super sub for a Hazard, you know? And then if Hazard is fit, if Asensio is fit, if they're doing really well, then I feel at the same time, you know, Zidane is going to be able to go back to that 4-3-3 that he's more comfortable with. And unless he makes the decision that he wants to rotate Benzema, then Jovic is going to get very little playing time. So that's kind of why my issue there, because I feel like as much as I like seeing the 4-4-2, I don't see it as I've seen the two times we've played it. It hasn't convinced me. But then when we go back to the 4-3-3, I feel like, oh, this is the Madrid that I remember, you know? I kind of feel like Zidane may be going through the same things that we're going through. And he's looking at it and he's like, well, they want me to play Jovic and I want to play the kid. But at the same time, if I play the 4-3-3, that's where these guys look a little bit better and more comfortable. So what do you think about that, you know, this situation right now with that?
I mean, you have to keep in mind a couple of things. The first one, when it comes to the 4-3-3, it's pretty good. I mean, it's better, of course. We have more velocity and we are fast, super fast. We can counterattack really quick, you know, and create something danger. But the problem is when you are facing another rival, like, for example, let's say PSG, Bayern Munich, Manchester City or something like that, then Zinedine Zidane knows exactly that we are not better than him. We are actually worse. Or we have, less level than the other team. The problem is what he thinks is, okay, if we are facing, for example, FC Barcelona last year in the Nou Camp, if we are facing FC Barcelona, PSG and all the stuff, what we need is to keep the ball with us. Because that way, the other team doesn't have any chance to create us a dangerous situation or even a score or something like that. That is what he thinks, actually, right? It's not beautiful, right? But it's very effective. Yeah. The problem is, When you're playing against a team like Levante, or with all my respects, of course, Levante, Valladolid, and all this stuff, and you start with a 4-4-2, man, that is not going to work. Yeah. We're going to get bored, super bored, because what you have to try is to win the game. So that's why that is the moment when you have to use the 4-3-3. This is my opinion, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, and this is the second thing, if you want to give some credit to Luka Jovic and give him some chances to play, Luka Jovic is, that is what I think, Luka Jovic is always more comfortable playing with another striker with him. And if you have a partner like Benzema, man, you will feel really confident and good and all that stuff, because you can always look at him and say, okay, I'm going to give him a pass because I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm very brand new in this or something like that. Yeah. If you feel uncertainty or something, you can give him the ball because he knows exactly what he has to do, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, my heart is divided in between these two situations, because 4-3-3 I like the most.
Yeah.
But the problem is 4-4-2 is useful as well for us.
Yeah, correct.
You know?
And the thing is, we saw that with Luka Jovic too, when he played that game against with Benzema, where everybody, I mean, sorry, when he played the game, I believe it was not Valladolid,
Betis.
Even though he didn't really do much in the game, that a lot of people were like, well, he didn't really do much. He did, because in a lot of ways, what it was is you saw Benzema all over the field, pretty much, with a lot of freedom, because now the defenders had to worry about another guy there in the penalty area that has the, and I think for right now it's a good thing that Jovic is this question mark, because a lot of teams can't, they don't know. They're just like, okay, there's this guy in the box that we don't know what he's capable of yet. We haven't seen him, but you know, the rumors are he's a killer, you know? So, you know, so that definitely, you know, we can't just let him be. And then you saw in the game finally with Valladolid, which I think is very interesting, is the fact that he went from one game to the next, which is exactly what you were saying, that it should be more than two or three games playing, you know, back to back, because the evolution from one game to the next was very interesting from Jovic, from the Betis game to the Valladolid game, where he didn't look like he could find his way in the game with Betis. He suddenly found it with Valladolid. And it looked like, you know, yeah, he had a couple missed chances, and then he had two missed chances that were really close, you know, so I give him credit there. They weren't like he didn't, you know, he totally bombed it. But then there was that one shot that hit the post too. So you're looking at this guy like, okay, it looks like, you know, and he's just got that thing, man. I don't know if it's the fact that he's, you know, the Serbian thing, man, you know, where it's just like, like, just, it looks like he's a mean guy. Like,
it's stone cold, man.
Very cold, stone cold.
Look at the face, he's like, all the tennis tank. He never smiles.
Yeah.
He never laughs, you know. It's right. No, but the thing, the funny thing in Luka Jovic, if you see the evolution, like you said, from Betis to Valladolid, I mean, when you have to evaluate striker, what you have to look at it is basically not only the goals that he's able to score.
Yeah.
You have to look how he moves all around the defense. Mm-hmm. If, for example, if you have a striker like, for example, let's say Luis Suarez, he's breaking and creating gaps in the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So that way Leo Messi can move through and score goals and create chances and all the stuff. That is exactly what we could see in Luka Jovic against Valladolid.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we couldn't see against Betis.
Yeah,
because against Betis, Luka Jovic was all the time moving back and forth
in the center,
in the same line, in the center, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very static, you know, all the time. So when he went to Valladolid, I think what I'm guessing is that Zinedine Zidane was talking to him or something and say, hey, Luka, you have to move all around. You have to create chances. You have to help your partners.
Yeah.
It's not only that you score goals.
Yeah.
It's basically what Benzema has been doing with Cristiano Ronaldo, creating chances, moving defenders, you know, creating gaps and all the stuff so Cristiano Ronaldo can go through and find opportunities, chances, and all the stuff. Yeah. That is the main thing we look at, Jovic. And that is what we could see. And that's why every single person in the world could see a better Luka Jovic against Valladolid.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why everybody was, I think a lot of people were more excited about it because they were like, oh, okay, you know, because maybe, you know, you're right. Maybe it was, he was used to more or less being sort of a poacher in the sense that he's there to get the ball and just push it into the goal rather. And, you know, he was playing with another striker as well, but now it's like, you know, definitely at Madrid, you could tell he was making those more diagonal runs and trying to get in there, and he was doing the, you know, he did that play that was great. There was a 1-2 pass with Modric and then to Marcelo that also, you know, the goalie saved, you know, played an amazing game, the Valladolid keeper. Mm-hmm. So that was a game that it was almost like we could easily have walked away with way more goals, but we didn't walk away with them. But yeah, I feel like right now we're in that, talking about that 4-3-3 and 4-4-2, we're kind of in that era of, you know, we have to sacrifice one thing for the other, you know, so play a certain way against some opponents. You know, 4-4-2 has always been sort of designed to play when you're playing with a team that might be what you feel is a little bit superior to you. You know, I understand that, and it's just like we're just trying to find our way. But I still, the reason I said like I'm optimistic is that I feel like I've seen, number one, it's a team that didn't have a preseason. It's a team that, you know, Real Madrid is a team that didn't have a preseason. It's a team that is still getting used to, you know, each other in a lot of ways. You know, now we have a new addition, which is Odegaard. You know, what's he going to bring to the table, which I think is a lot. He's a talented player. You could see it, you know, with Norway today, you know, and Haaland. You know, so there is a talented guy, and we do have those talented youth guys. It's just about, it's almost like the little pieces of the puzzle just need to find their way a bit, you know. So Hazard, it's like Hazard, we have this amazing player. We're just trying to figure out when is he going to be at full fitness. You know, Vinicius just has to fine tune his finishing, you know. Jovic just has to get maybe those first two or three goals in, and then it's like, are we going to find this killer that everyone's looking for? You know, then all of a sudden, like, and we always say, it's kind of like when it rains, it pours. So when it rains, it's just going to start raining. So I feel like it's almost like Madrid, for me, the reason I'm positive, Jota, is that I'm like, we're on like the cusp, you know, like we're on the hill, and it's just like, people shouldn't be complaining because we're just there. We're just there. It's just they haven't hit the all time yet. You know,
I mean, we are doing a great beginning right now. So far we have won like, you know, three games, which is good. We are in the top. So yeah, shouldn't be any concern right now. The only thing is, improve, we have to, or we need more goals to feel comfortable and stuff like that. Let Luka Jovic score more goals, that's okay, but it takes time, man. It's something that you cannot bring ahead. It's just, it takes time. It's a matter of time, that's it. That's what I think.
So I guess the last question I want to ask you, Jota, before we tie everything up, obviously, you know, the game's going to start, you know, the games are going to come back next weekend. You know, we face Cadiz, which I, you know, think should be a really good opportunity for us, you know, with all due respect, of course, but with, you know, it should be a good opportunity for us to get comfortable before a Clásico, you know?
Right.
You know, definitely it's, let's talk a little bit about our rivals, I guess, because to me, I think one of the things I think about Barcelona, and this is one thing, because coming from my fighting background, I always feel like, you know, a team, a fighter, let's say, is never down and out. And sometimes when they're hurt is when they're more dangerous, you know. When you have a guy on the ropes, and you're beating him up, and then you think, you know, you leave yourself open, and then boom, you get it. You get knocked out. So I feel like a lot of times, and what I think about a lot when I'm thinking about Barcelona right now is, I remember Italy. Remember Italy in Germany, the Germany World Cup of 2006. They had just gone through the entire problem with the what was it, the the calcio, I forget, it was Calciopoli or whatever, which was the whole controversy with Juve and buying matches.
When they were relegated.
When they were relegated. So you had a whole Italian federation that was in shambles. And Italy didn't look good at all in that World Cup at the beginning. And at the end of the, nobody had them, I don't think anybody had them as favorites of winning that World Cup. And they ended up winning the World Cup. So one of the things that I always fear is, you know, sometimes you look at situations like this with Barcelona, and right now they're going through all this crap. that's happening with the board and with Messi and with everybody not being happy. And you also have this, you know, it blows my mind that the people that they said they were going to change in this revolution never happened. And it's the same people, you know, playing the game. And then we saw, you know, they looked really good in their first two games. And then we saw against Sevilla that, you know, hey, there's still holes in that game. You know, Messi, I definitely feel, is not the same Messi anymore. He's giving away. He doesn't have that speed anymore. He's giving away balls more often, you know.
It's
not the same thing that's happening. But you have this great player in Ansu Fati that's doing some great work right now. So what do you think? I mean, what is your perception of what we can look forward to maybe for a Clásico? What do you think Madrid can do, and is Barcelona down and out? Are they down and out?
I mean, what I'm thinking is that Real Madrid, when, for El Clásico, it's going to be in 3 weeks, I think. Real Madrid, I think, is more prepared for that game. Okay. Right now, Real Madrid is basically the same last year. Mm-hmm. Barcelona is not the same anymore.
Yeah.
Barcelona is facing a very difficult times within the organization and all these problems coming up with the finances and the moción de censura against Bartomeu and all the stuff. So I think, and they have a new coach and all the stuff, but and you can feel it, man, when you have a different coach, when you are facing a new, what you said, a kind of revolution, even with the same people, it's a completely different game. I mean, they don't have the Luis Suarez. They are bringing more young and new people. Messi, to me, is completely out of the game.
Yeah.
Mentally, he's completely out of the game. He doesn't want to be the star anymore. And on the other hand, you have to Real Madrid that really knows how to play, because they've been playing the same style of playing over the last 2 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. And they are basically the same players with the same ideas, same coach, new people. I mean, young players, Luka Jovic, Vinicius Jr., Odegaard, Rodrigo. So what I'm guessing is that Real Madrid have a lot of chances to win that El Clásico. It's always difficult, of course.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the opposite, but it's always difficult, but we have a lot of chances to win, even more than last year. And last year, it was with Luis Suarez. Messi was playing arguably very good. And it was a tie of 0-0, but we played way far better than FC Barcelona that day. And it was with a 4-4-2 with Isco.
I don't
know if you remember it. So yeah, I think that we are, we have a lot of chances to win this year. The first Clásico,
I definitely agree in that sense, because I feel like it's that same thing that I feel. I feel like Madrid is almost this team that has it's got the round in the chamber. You know, it's about to fire, you know. I feel like it's all the players, the same ones. They're used to playing this style. They like playing, the ones that are there that want to be there now, definitely, and like playing with Zidane and like everything that's going on, are feeling it. You know, they're feeling the strength of the team. It's just they're trying to get adjusted to everything. And whereas Barcelona is kind of looking sort of confused as to where am I, what am I doing, what are we doing here, how are we going to play, is Messi happy? And I think the problem with that is that the whole thing is revolving around, is Messi happy? How happy is he? How happy is he? Do I pass the ball to him? Do I not pass the ball to him? Koeman, it's almost like you just said that Messi doesn't want to be the star, but it's almost like Koeman is telling him, I don't want him to be the star. I want the entire team to be the star, you know? Do you have a star that likes that? No, you know, you have one guy who's used to playing where he was the guy, you know? So there's a lot I would say we were talking about question marks a lot in this podcast. You have a lot of more question marks on Barcelona's side than you have question marks on the Real Madrid side.
Right. And I think that they know that this season is going to be just, I mean, they are testing the waters, everything, all the time, sorry. They are testing the waters all the time because they don't really know what direction are they going to take, you know, because Koeman has a project. Koeman has an idea, a very clear idea about what does he want for Barcelona, maybe for the next season, for the next season, all that stuff. But if you keep in mind that these players, for example, let's say Gerard Piqué, Busquets, Messi, they're old, they're bored, they don't believe anymore in the project because they've been playing around the last 10 years, I think, or 11 years, because they started with Guardiola, and they don't really believe that they should be a part of this new project.
Yeah,
they shouldn't be there. I mean, to me, it's my opinion. That is what I think that they think, you know. And Messi, you will see it. I think, I'm not sure about that, but I think that Manchester City is going to try to sign Messi for the next winter market.
Yeah, I believe that too. Yeah,
I'm not sure, but I bet that they will.
Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of things there. I mean, like I said, you know, that's talking a little bit of our rival in the sense that, you know, it's crazy to see what's going on over there. Once again, you know, I think it's a positive for us in the sense that, you know, the Liga is there for the taking, I feel like. I mean, I feel like Sevilla is probably one of the tougher teams right now. Barcelona, you know, obviously Barcelona is up and down. Atletico, although
Atletico is always there.
Yeah, Atletico is always there, although they've sort of all of a sudden had two draws, no goals, you know, but that's more of like, I go back to like Simeone's style more so than them not having the talent. But yeah, man, I think it's, so I always like try to say to, you know, Madridista, I say it's too early for us to be saying, oh my God, you know, because I see like, you know, comments like, con esto no ganamos nada, you know, with this, we're not going to win anything, you know, we don't have anything. I hear comments that are like, ni tenemos pa la B. And you're like, what? you know, like, which means like, you know, what I was saying is that they feel like we're not even good enough for the second division of Spain, which is obviously a huge exaggeration. But your people are like that, man. It's Spain.
Yeah, but the problem is, you're definitely right. But I mean, if you, after the game against Manchester City, when we played in Manchester, the sensation, the feelings that we had that day, it was like, no, man, we never had a chance to win. We never had a chance. That was the sensation. That is my opinion, of course. But that is, I think, the sensation that all the Madridistas had that day.
Yeah.
So in this year, I think it's kind of the same. You know, it's like, man, once we go to the Champions, and we will see it very soon because we have to play against the first game in Champions. I think it's going to be in 2 weeks or something like that, or 3 weeks or something. And then when we play against Inter de Milan, I don't know, man. We'll see. But I think that is going to be the big day for us.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, to be fair, honestly, man, I believe that. It's Wednesday, October 21st against Shakhtar Donetsk is the first game for Real Madrid, I don't want to say they're not an easy team. It's basically like Brazil light. But, but I feel like those are, we'll see where Real Madrid is in that game in the Champions League. I think Inter Milan is going to be the more difficult one, obviously, with how they're playing right now. And they have a great coach, and they have Hakimi might come back to bite us, you know. But, you know, it's those things. I feel that for Champions League, but honestly, like I was saying, I want to be fair. I really don't see – maybe I'm biased, but because I feel like no one's going to beat that Bayern team right now. Like that Bayern team looks – insane. Now they have Sané, you know, Leroy Sané. Now they have, you know, they have all these guys, you know, that, I mean, obviously Thiago left, but you still have all these guys that are just so fast, so strong.
Right now they are the best.
So it's going to be very difficult, but you never know. I mean, something can surprise us, like you said, and football is football, you know, on any given day, you know, somebody can beat them, or, and we might not even have to face them because they lost somewhere else, you know, so you never know. But I think it's a good, fair assessment. Madrid is, for me, at least heading, it is in the right direction. It's just, I think we're in the right direction financially. I think we're in the right direction. Yeah. I think we're in the right direction with our youth players. Our defense is solid, you know, has been solid for the last season and everything with, you know, Sergio Ramos, you know, it just seems like he's a man possessed, you know, like
he just
wants to go down as being the best of all time or something like that.
Yeah, which youngest is than ever, man.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm happy with where we are. I think it's just not time to be so panicking. But I know, like, you know, I watch all the news in Spain and they just love to hate on the team as much as they want.
Yeah. You know, but that is the business, man. It's
the show business.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, right. Yeah. Right. But anyways, Jota, Dr. Jota Football and Fun, I want to thank you for being on this episode of the podcast with me.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm going to include Dr. Jota is going to, you know, jump in every once in a while. I want him and I to talk about some things. He does his show, like I said, in Spanish, but he has a lot of great information. So please follow him there on YouTube. You guys, you'll get a lot of up-to-date information almost as soon as it happens. He's putting out a video, so you'll get a lot of cool stuff there. So keep up with him if you're a Spanish speaker. But if not, if you want to hear more from him, I'm going to bring him on occasionally here, and we'll talk about, you know, things from on the English side, English perspective of Real Madrid. So thank you, Jota, for joining us today here at Nada Más.
Yeah, thank you to you, Eric, for having me here and giving me this opportunity to speak to the English speakers and Latino speaking, that of course I know that they also speak Spanish and English. So
yeah.
I'm very happy to be here. And of course, I will be happy if you want to have me here again. I will be so glad to stay here with you, talking a little bit.
Yeah, sure. No worries. So once again, Jota, how can they follow you? It's Jota Real Madrid, right?
Yeah, right. Jota Real Madrid. If they go to YouTube and type Jota Real Madrid, they will find me, of course.
Okay, so make sure you guys follow him on YouTube. He's got a lot of subscribers. Does, like I said, a lot of content there that you guys can look at. He's always posting. So Jota Real Madrid on YouTube. Thank you guys for joining us. Once again, Y Nada Más Podcast. I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also at our website, ynadamas.net, where you can find all the episodes. And then also we are available on all the podcast outlets, guys. So hit the subscribe button on the on Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating. Give us a few positive comments here and there, and help us grow, as because we want to see the sport of football grow, not only here in America, the sport of football grow worldwide, of course. But always, as we said, we're Madridistas. So a la Madrid. Then, you know, we'll talk to you guys again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más. Al Real Madrid Podcast.